Okay, we're going to turn to the Word of God. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We're carrying on with our Encountered series. And if you've not managed to follow all of them, what we're doing is taking a look at what the disciples encountered after Jesus' resurrection, before they were filled with the Holy Spirit on that amazing day that Acts chapter 2 talks about. And we're going to be looking at that in a few weeks. But I want to talk to us this morning about the fact that they encountered mission. And I want to talk to us this morning about being a people who are missional, not a people who are passive. I don't think the church is meant to be passive. I think the church is meant to be active in the areas that God has asked them to be active in, both personally and corporately. And so we're going to be talking about how we become missional and what mission does to us. And I'm going to take a slightly different slant on that this morning, if that's okay. Well, if it's not, I'm still going to do it because I've got the microphone, so I'm allowed. Okay, but we're going to take a little bit of a different slant on it this morning. And in a few weeks' time, at the beginning of July, we've got Luke and Kaz Grattan with us, and they're going to be doing our Compassion Sunday. It is going to be very missional, okay? And we're going to be talking about some future things that hopefully we're going to be doing with Compassion as well. And it's going to be so exciting. But I want to tell you about my first ever mission that I went on. I was 16. I hadn't got a clue what I was doing, but I had two good things. Number one, I loved Jesus. And number two, I loved young people. So we were on a winner, okay? I didn't know a lot. I had no strategy for evangelism. I couldn't preach. I didn't think I could. And my voice was very shaky at that time, okay? I'd not had singing lessons. And you get Joe post singing lessons. My first ever mission got Joe pre singing lessons. And thankfully there was a lady there that saw a bit of gift in me and told me to get singing lessons. So we have that product here today. But I went on this mission. I had no idea what I was doing. But when I was 14 years old, I was in a meeting at AOG conference, and a guy called Ian Green was preaching. And he preached about ministry, and he preached about the call of God. And he said, if there's any of you out there who feel you've got the call of God on your life, I want you to come forward and just stand at the front. And so like, I was out of my seat like a shot. My heart was beating faster than it has ever beaten before. And I was legging it, literally legging it down to the front. And these guys came and prayed for me, and they said, you know, we actually really believe that the call of God is on your life. And it's not just going to be a 1 or 2 week thing. It's going to be forever. And I just came home with this absolute buzz about me, about this is what I'm going to do. And my strategy for getting into ministry was simply I was going to go on short-term missions until I was old enough to do something else. And so I'd started to save up. I used to get like a couple of quid pocket money every week, and I bought no sweets for ages. And then I got a fiver. My mum upped it. And I got a fiver, okay, a week. And I saved nearly every penny I had. I saved all my birthday money, all my Christmas money. I saved everything that I could save. And which I'm really glad that I did that and that my parents didn't pay for me. I wasn't glad at the time, but I'm really glad now because I understand the cost. And I sometimes want to encourage our young people, if you're going to go and do something like that, do you know what? Save up your money. Yeah. And God will meet the rest. And I have no idea how I paid it. It was 170 quid, which back in 1990 was a lot of money. And I saved up this money. And we did a week's training at Mattersea. And then we did a week in Liverpool. And they sent like 70-odd of us out onto the streets of Liverpool. We planted a church, or helped to plant a church. And it was an absolute blast. And I was kind of thinking about mission when I knew I was preaching on this, and I thought, you know, that was my first mission. And then I remembered the one I did before that. You see, we've kind of turned mission into a project. But actually, I believe God wanted mission to be a lifestyle. I don't think he wants it to be a project. I think he wanted it to be a lifestyle. And God began to speak to me about when I was a kid. I can remember I was 5 years old. And I don't have like mega memories of when I was little and stuff like that, but this is one of them that I have. And I was stood in a queue. I don't know whether it was to go into dinner, to go into assembly, to go back into the class. I can't remember. I can remember the hall in my old school, in my primary school. And I was stood in a queue with all my other classmates. And every Sunday in our Sunday school, we'd be told a story, and there was always an appeal. I think I got saved every week for about 3 years, okay? And there was always an appeal. So I was stood in this queue, I was 5 years old, and I just basically preached to my whole class. And I told them the story that the pastor's wife, a little old lady called Mrs. Robinson, that she had told us the day before, okay? And then I gave an appeal. I didn't realize that I wasn't meant to do that. I was in a very multicultural school. I didn't realize that, you know, preaching to the Muslim community was probably not the best idea. Okay, I think it is the best idea, but to be politically correct, it wasn't. Not that there was much of that back in the 80s. Okay, but I was just like, okay, I just need to tell everyone. And so I stood in the queue and I told them the story. I said, right, who wants to get to know Jesus? And the teacher is somewhere down there getting ready to lead us, wherever. And like, all my classmates put their hand up. So I like prayed for all of them. They all prayed the prayer. They may not remember that they did that, okay? But they all prayed the prayer. It was like, you know, 100% everybody who was in the queue prayed the prayer. And it was absolutely incredible. And God began to remind me, actually, mission is not a project. And I love, and we're going to hopefully get involved in short-term mission. I love all of that. But actually, first of all, it should be a lifestyle. The best people to take on mission are those who adopt it as a lifestyle. Acts 1:8 says this, "Here's the knowledge you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." The sole reason, there are two reasons that we receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, Jesus said he will be your comforter. And number two, it's so that we can be empowered to what? To be his witness. We can be empowered to be his witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and finally to the farthest places of the earth. Do you know what? Mission has always been on God's heart for every single Christian. And you may not go to Africa, but do you go to work? Do you go into town? Do you go into the cafe? Do you sit in your home with people who don't know God? Do you have people on your street who don't know Jesus? I want to tell you, mission is God's heart for every single Christian. I want to read to us from Luke 24. And we're going to read it, okay? And we're starting at verse 13. It says this, when I can find it. There it is. "The same day, two other disciples, not of the 11, are traveling the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. As they walk along, they talk back and forth about all that has transpired during recent days. While they're talking, discussing, and conversing, Jesus catches up to them and begins walking with them. But for some reason, they don't recognize him. 'You two seem deeply engrossed in conversation. What are you talking about as you walk along this road?' Jesus asked. They stopped walking and just stood there, looking sad. One of them, Cleopas is his name, speaks up. He said, 'You must be the only visitor in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about what's been going on over the last few days. What are you talking about?' 'It's all about the man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet who did amazing miracles and preached powerful messages in the sight of God and everyone around. Our chief priests and authorities handed him over to be executed, crucified, in fact. We have been hoping that he was the one, you know, the one who would liberate all Israel and bring God's promise. Anyway, on top of all this, just this morning, the third day after the execution, some women in our group really shocked us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't see his body anywhere. They came back and told us they did see something, a vision of heavenly messengers. And these messengers said that Jesus was alive. Some people in our group went to the tomb to check it out, and just as the women had said, it was empty, but they didn't see Jesus. Come on, men. Why are you being so foolish? Why are your hearts so sluggish? When it comes to believing what the prophets have been saying all along, didn't it have to be this way? Didn't the Anointed One have to experience these sufferings in order to come to his glory? Then he begins with Moses and continues prophet by prophet, explaining the meaning of Hebrew scriptures, showing how they were talking about the very things that had happened to Jesus. About this time, they are nearing their destination. Jesus keeps walking ahead as if he has no plans to stop there. But they convince him to join them. 'Please be our guest. It's getting late and soon it will be too dark to walk.' So he accompanies them to their home. When they sit down at the table for dinner, he takes the bread in his hands. He gives thanks for it and then he breaks it and he hands it to them. At that instant, two things happen simultaneously. Their eyes are suddenly open, so they recognize him. And he instantly vanishes, just disappears before their eyes. Amazing, they said. Weren't our hearts on fire within us while he was talking to us on the road? Didn't you feel it all coming clear as he explained the meaning of the Hebrew scriptures? I love this story about Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And I was reading something this week, and a guy called Leslie Newbegin said this, that the church is not meant to call men and women out of the world into a safe religious enclave, but to call them out in order to send them back as agents of God's kingship. Yeah. You're not meant to be called out of the world to sit in a church. You're meant to be called out so you can go back and call more out. Okay, we're meant to be missional at our very core, at the very depth of who we are. We're meant to be missional. Church is not the be-all and end-all of Christianity. It's the training ground. It's the place of equipping to go and live out the Great Commission, which is to make disciples of all nations. Sometimes we lose it all in it. We turn it into a week a year or 2 weeks a year, or, you know, we're going to go over there and do it. But I want to look this morning that actually our lives are meant to be missional. When did we turn it into a project? When did we turn it into something that has to be thought through? And when we go out and do missions, so the mission that we do here every year has to be thought through. There has to be a strategy. So I hear what I am saying, not what I'm not. I absolutely agree with that. But what about the other 51 weeks a year? Yeah. Does God not call us to mission then because there's not a plan put in place? There's not a strategy? Of course he does. Yeah. And I want to look this morning that actually, looking from the narrative of what happened on the road to Emmaus, we need to look at a few things, I think, today. Looking at the account in Luke, I love the fact that Jesus joined the two men on their journey. He didn't try and change their journey. He just walked alongside them. Do you know what I think? Encountering mission and being missional is just walking alongside someone. It's just joining them on the road. It's just getting alongside, joining in their conversation, whatever that conversation may be. Jesus didn't come down on them. Jesus didn't come all heavy on them. He just walked beside them. And I love the fact that in church life, all we do, we just walk beside people. We get alongside people and we walk with them. We journey with them. We do life with them. It wasn't a trip. It wasn't planned. It was just doing a journey with them. Ministry is not just about bringing people in, but finding them where they're at and journeying with them. Right. I want to say to you this morning that every place you put your feet is your mission. Your workplace, your home, your street, your school, your gym, your pub, your local. Yeah. It's all your mission. Right. Because when you go in there, you take the flavor, or you should take the flavor and the atmosphere of Christ with you. You should make a difference in every place that you go to. Because God, the risen Christ, the risen Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit is in you and should be flowing out of you. God wants to expand our vision to become inclusive of others, both home and away. You know what? We have to see past our own agenda and look at the world and look at eternity through God's eyes. And when we do that, we begin to realize that we need to be missional. We need to be people who not just read the Great Commission, but live the Great Commission in every place that we go to. Mission enlarges us, and I want to very quickly this morning look at three ways that mission enlarges us. Number one, it enlarges our vision. When you encounter mission, it will always enlarge your vision for others and the communities that you go into. When you allow mission to become part of your lifestyle, it will enlarge your vision. It will enlarge what God causes you to see. In the Great Commission, Jesus enlarges the disciples' vision for other parts of the world and for other people groups. He enlarges their vision because they were just set on reaching the Jews. And God began to say, no. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, God, I'm going to empower you to reach beyond where you think you're just meant to reach. Yeah. I'm going to empower you to reach beyond there. Do you know, sometimes when we live in a small place, you sometimes have to leave it to get a glimpse of the bigger picture. I am all for short-term mission. Yeah, I'm looking forward to taking some trips and to doing some stuff. If you want something, you know, immediate, talk to Neil. Okay. Neil, it goes all over the place, you know, and does all kinds of stuff, you know. And I actually believe God wants us to go. When you live in a small place like Laos, sometimes you've got to enlarge your vision a bit. Sometimes you've got to enlarge, you know, what you're seeing, because we live, and you can become very looking inward when you live in a small town. But we're not going to be like that, because we're missional. And we want God to enlarge our vision for something bigger than we have ever known. Mission should enlarge our vision and the vision of those that we're ministering to. Do you know, I think mission doesn't just enlarge your vision about humanity, it enlarges your vision of God. It enlarges what you think about God. It enlarges how you see God. Jesus enlarged the vision of the guys he walked to Emmaus with. He enlarged their vision. He enlarged their vision to see, actually, I am risen. He enlarged their vision to see, actually, everything that you have been told has come to pass. In Luke 24, verses 29 to 31, it says this. They say to him, please be our guest. It's getting late and soon it will be too dark to walk. So he accompanies them to their home. When they sit down at the table for dinner, he takes the bread in his hands. He gives thanks. He breaks it and he hands it to them. At an instant, their eyes were opened so they would recognize him. Do you know what? Sometimes you've just got to do the journey with someone long enough for their eyes to open. Right. It's not just about enlarging my vision of people or enlarging my vision of God. It's about enlarging the vision of the people that I'm talking to. Yeah. In an instant, their eyes were open as Jesus did the very thing that he'd done with his disciples before his death. As he took the bread and he broke it and he handed it to them, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Sometimes you've got to go on the journey with someone long enough for their eyes to open and for them to recognize who Jesus really is. Right. That's called being missional. And you can't always do that in a week or in 2 weeks. I've been on the journey with some people for 23 years. And some people get it instantly and some people don't, but that's okay. But we've got to be in the business of enlarging their vision. Number two, mission enlarges our knowledge. Do you know what? There should always be something more that we can be learning. We were on a mission a few years ago to help young mums, teenage mums. We didn't just throw ourselves into that. We went to college. We went and learned some skills. We learned about the social and economic issues for those people within our society. We didn't just go, let's do it and you know, set the toys out a week later. We had months of preparing the room, of, you know, getting some funding so that we could change everything. We had months of preparing a team. You know, sometimes we need knowledge where it comes to those that we want to spend our life working with and spend our life engaging with. When God gives you a mission, he gives you an opportunity to increase your knowledge in a certain area. It's not a grudge. It's not a, oh, I have to do this. Math says this a lot. It's I get to do it. God gives you an opportunity to increase your knowledge. Sometimes we have to upskill to go and do what God has called us to. Yeah. I can remember when I was doing my training to be a youth pastor. I was in my third year. And so I was meant to be the one that knew most of it, right? And we took a leadership tour to Leicester. So we went to Leicester, and Leicester, very multicultural. And we went into a part of Leicester that was a predominantly Muslim area. And we met with a leader who was planting a church in that area. And they made me eat curry. And I did it because I was brought up that you eat what's put in front of you. And so, like, you know, we kind of had this kind of whole thing. And we had some leaders on our team who were from quite small places and very white British places, and they could not believe what they saw. For me, it was like going home. It was like the place I was brought up in, but was very multicultural when I was back in Halifax. And we were the only white family on our part of the street. And, you know, we kind of lived like that. But I remember seeing other people going, how do you reach a community like this? And all of a sudden, as we sat with this pastor for a few hours, he began to increase our knowledge about that. He began to increase not just our hub and not just our vision, but our knowledge about that. You see, mission will enlarge and increase your knowledge. But it also increases our knowledge and confidence in who God is. Acts 1:8 in the Voice translation says this: here is the knowledge that you need. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. Yeah. That's the knowledge that you need. Yeah. That's the, if you look at that word, it means confidence. That's the confidence that you need. Do you know what? I think we need a new knowledge of the Holy Spirit and his role in our life. Right. We need a new knowledge and a new confidence where it comes to sharing our faith, where it comes to living before people and letting them know about Jesus. We need a new knowledge and a new confidence of the Holy Spirit and what he does when we become missional, when we encounter that kind of lifestyle. We were in, I didn't get a chance to ask her if it was okay, but I'm all right to use you, Sharon, aren't I? Yeah, that's fine. She's nodded. Okay. And we were in the prayer meeting the other day, and we were praying for people, and Sharon just came in and said, I've just met this guy in the butcher aisle in Morrison's. And he ended up sharing with Sharon. She gets all of these conversations, and he ended up sharing with her that he has cancer. And she said to him, she said, can I pray for you in the butcher aisle in Morrison's? That kind of thing inspires me because that's missional lifestyle. Yeah. That's always prepared anytime, anywhere. God, you can use me. It's okay, Holy Spirit, help me now. Help me say the right things. Help me do the right thing. And we were in our prayer meeting Tuesday morning, and we're just praying for this man now. I don't know if Sharon will ever see him again. I pray that she does, actually, and I pray that actually she can say, do you know what, we've been praying for you. How are you doing? Praying that there'll be salvation there. Because you never know what will happen if you will adopt a lifestyle that is missional rather than think of mission as a trip or as something that you do every so often when you feel the need to do it. Actually, mission is a lifestyle, and it should enlarge our knowledge and it should enlarge our confidence in God. And then thirdly, and we're going to finish with this, it enlarges our heart. That first mission that I went on to Liverpool, we went back for a reunion, just an opportunity to have a holiday, really. We went back for a reunion a few months later, and I met a guy called Lee on that mission. And Lee was about 13 years old, and he wanted to get to know Jesus, and he was from a really rough area in Liverpool, near the church. The church was in a nightclub, and that was very interesting. There were rats and stuff like that. I don't think we'd be allowed to take young people to sleep on the floor there now. But it was great. Character building, it's brilliant. And this guy came, and we were praying for him, and we gave him a Bible. And as we gave him a Bible, there were just tears in his eyes. And I said, mate, what's wrong? He said, there is no point giving me that. I said, why? He said, I can't read. And I can remember something just hit me. I was like, you're 13 and you can't read. I didn't say that. But I just kind of looked and thought, God, we're living in a world where this guy in our country has no concept of education. And I said to us, and so me, God be me. Okay, my kids take after me, don't they, Susie? We found that out yesterday at Jack and Harry's party. Okay, but I just said to him, I said, you know what? I'm going to give you the Bible, and I'm going to pray God teaches you to read it. I had no idea what I was saying. Okay, 16-year-old kid, just found a bit of faith, found a bit of confidence. My heart was breaking for this kid who couldn't read. And I was just about to go and get my GCSE results. And you know, I gave him a Bible. I said, I'm going to pray that God helps you read this. And we went back to Liverpool a few months later, and we walked in. One of the first people I saw was Lee. I'm like, Lee, how are you doing? He said, come here, Joe. And there was another guy who had prayed with him, and we were both there. He says, just come here. And he says, I've had the Bible. And he got out the Bible. And we told him to begin to read the book of John. And we told him about John 3:16. And he turned to John, and he began to read as John 3:16 out of the Bible. You see, all that happened is someone's heart was enlarged and got a bit of confidence. And I said, okay, you can learn John 3:16, Lee. I said, we're going to turn to another bit of the Bible. And he says, absolutely fine, Joe. Turn to another bit of the Bible, random page in the Bible. And I said, there you go. And he began to read it. And I can remember just tears began to stream down my face. My heart had been enlarged, okay? And all of a sudden, I just saw God do the impossible. And it was absolutely incredible. You see, mission enlarges our heart. I can remember going to Cape Town a few years ago, and I was going, my friend was speaking, and I was carrying the suitcases and going along for the ride. And we were driving through a part of Cape Town, and if I looked out to the left of me, and I saw these palatial houses. They were absolutely gorgeous. I mean, they were ones that I would go, I could never afford something like that. They were just mansions. And then I looked out of the window on the other side of the car, and I saw the slums. And I saw the mess that the world was in. And I want to say to you, God enlarged my heart. He broke my heart. That on what there was a road dividing prosperity and poverty. A road. Just like we have in through the middle of Laos. There was one road that divided prosperity and poverty. And the two halves never mixed. God began to enlarge my heart. But the last thing I want to say to you today is, you know what? It's one thing to go somewhere. And I want to encourage all of you at some point to go on a mission trip. There's one thing to go somewhere and have your heart enlarged. There is another thing to allow God to do it here. There's another thing to allow God, enlarge my heart, break my heart for the community in which I'm living. You know, I talk about Cape Town, about poverty on one side and prosperity on the other. Do you know what? We live there today. And it might not be the same as the slums of Africa, and it might not look the same, but we live there today. One side of town and another side of town, they're very, very different places. Sometimes you've got to do the journey long term with someone. Who's that person that you've given up on? Who's that person that you said they'll never get it? Who's that person who is, you know, one minute with God and the other minute they're really struggling with it? Who's that person for you? As I've been getting this ready, God has absolutely kicked me up the backside about someone, they're not saved, they're not a Christian. And God has begun to kick me up the backside about the way that I am with them. So I'm not preaching to you saying I've got it all together. There are people that I can do better with. And there are things I've got to go and do from this that I know are not going to be easy. But I want to say to you this morning, it's one thing to go and allow the Holy Spirit to break your heart for a nation, for a place, and then come back home. But it's another thing to have it here on the ground 24/7. Church, it's about time we became missional in our lifestyle and not just in our projects. Every place you set your feet is your mission field. Every place. In the places that you like and in the places where you struggle, every place you set your feet is your mission field. When we read the Great Commission, for us, the start point is Laos. For the disciples, it was Jerusalem. And God was making a point. You start where you are, and then you allow me to take you further afield. Let me say to you today, my heart enlarges for this place. My heart breaks as I see the issues that arise in our town. And as I look at it, as I study it, as I read it, as I sometimes don't want to, but I allow the Holy Spirit to do something in me. Do you know what? My heart breaks for this place and enlarges. I am so thankful I get to do mission here. That I get to see, you know, kids who were kids when I first came and now adults with kids of their own. And those kids are coming into our kids' ministry. Those kids are coming to our youth ministry. They encountered mission. And the Holy Spirit, when he came upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them for mission. And he came upon them for mission in the locality where they were. It wasn't just about the ends of the earth. It was about Jerusalem. And it was about where they were planted and where they were. And I'm going to pray this morning. And my third point is what I just feel like we should really concentrate on and just pray about. This morning, will you allow God to enlarge your heart for Louth? Enlarge your heart for the place where you are. Enlarge your heart, enlarge our heart collectively and corporately for the place that God has called us to be. You know, this morning, there will be to the ends of the earth. There will be that. But this morning, will you allow the Holy Spirit to do something in you for where you are right now? And this morning, it's not just about responding to something. It's about God. It's about coming with a prayer, with a longing. And my longing is that God does that with all of us. Because if God really enlarged our heart collectively, our community would be changed. And if you're saying, God, I give you permission to enlarge me, to enlarge my heart, enlarge my compassion, enlarge my grace, enlarge my mercy. God, I give you permission to speak over me again the words that you spoke in Matthew 28 and in Acts chapter 1. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That includes, and make disciples of all communities. That includes my own. If you're saying, God, I give you permission to enlarge my heart again for this place, I just want you to stand to your feet. And I want us to pray this morning. And then we're going to finish our time together. And our cafe is going to be open. But this morning, enlarge my heart, God. Break it if you need to. Break it. Lord God, would you come and enlarge us? Would you come and enlarge our heart for the place where you've planted us? Lord, would you come and enlarge our heart for every area of our community? Would you enlarge our heart, enlarge our compassion? Lord, may we be a church that don't just do mission 1 week a year, but God, mission becomes part of our lifestyle 24/7. It's not that we turn it on and turn it off. Lord, will your Holy Spirit come and just create something within us this morning that enlarges our heart for the lost, that enlarges our heart for people, that makes us carry on the journey, that we don't always make people come to our journey, but God, we join them on their journey so that you have a chance to open their eyes. Lord God, will you come and will you enlarge our hearts? And will you cause us to be people who weep, who break, who pray, God, who go out and tell people about you in the community in which we live. Lord, help us fall in love with this place. Help us fall in love with the place where you have planted us. And Father God, I pray we won't look at what divides our town. We will look at you who can unite it. That we won't look at the bad things about our town, but we will look at the great things about our town. God, we don't have to do mission here. We get to do mission here. Thank you for the privilege and for the honor of standing in one community for 23 years and for some of the guys in here a lot longer. Lord, thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have had, Father God, to stand in this community and to do what you have called us to do. Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a time together where, God, we can have you come, Holy Spirit, and enlarge our hearts to do what you've called us to do. I'm just going to ask Jane just if she'll keep playing. Is that all right? Because I don't necessarily think you can always do this in 5 minutes. I am aware that we've got our kids through there, and if you're a parent, we're going to need to go and pick those up. But if you just want to stay and you pray, I can pray, but there's nothing like you praying. Pray a prayer like this. God, I give you permission to enlarge my heart for this town, for this community. So we're going to keep this place as a quiet place. Our cafe is going to be open downstairs. So if you want to leave this room and go down to that, that's fine. But I'm going to ask Jane just to keep playing for us. We're back next Sunday, 10 o'clock. It's going to be incredible. And We hope you have a great week. We hope God blesses you. I pray for divine appointments for you this week as we live out mission. If you want to stick around and just pray for a while, then go and do that. If you want to go down to the cafe, that's fine as well. But let's just keep this place quiet, this atmosphere of the Holy Spirit just here. But it's been great to see you this morning. If you've got kids, please go and pick them up. And we'll see you in the cafe at some point.